Hey, Juice, the only thing better than looking clean is looking clean on your own time.
No doubt about it, Big Seth, and that's why I always call my man Ara at A&T Dry Cleaners anytime I need my clothes laundered or dry cleaned.
Tell him exactly why you call Ara.
Because A&T offers free pickup and delivery at your home or office, so you never have the inconvenience of trying to find time to take your dry cleaning somewhere. They bring it to you.
That's exactly right, Juice. You can walk into their Fort Lauderdale location, but A&T serves Miami-Dade, Broward, and the Southern Palm Beaches with their convenient pickup and delivery services, which also include alterations, shoe repair, and more.
And A&T is a family-owned company, and they've been in business since 1980.
1980?
Yeah, and you know what? That means customer service is their priority.
So call Ara today at 954-610-9383. That's his personal cell we're giving you. Or you can visit drycleanertoyou.com to start making your life and your dry cleaning a lot easier.
And make sure you tell them that the Fish Tank sent you, because Ara, my man, is giving our listeners 50% off your first order.
How much?
50. Half, Seth. Wow. Half. And 25% off any dry cleaning services after that.
A&T Dry Cleaning, the official dry cleaners of the Fish Tank.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that Fish Tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that Fish Tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank here in Studio Blue.
Studio Blue.
Jason Taylor Foundation loaned us Studio Blue today, Juice.
Beautiful, beautiful set.
Yeah, kind of a nice view.
Yes, it is.
Got a lush window view here and Ill Surge with the artwork in the background. But we just had a best of season two, but it's time now to move forward. We've looked back enough.
That's right.
It's time to move.
Well, we always look back, but I feel what you're saying, though.
Fair enough. We look back at our own show. That's right. That's true. We do kind of spend a lot of time looking back. That's it. Yeah, well.
That's what's up, Big Seth.
Yeah, man, you got me on that one. No, so how you doing today, Juice?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. You know, I mean, it's always good to get in the studio, and, you know, especially when I get a former teammate in the, you know, in the tank. That's always like.
And we've been trying to wrangle this guy down, man.
And he's local, too. It's a, you know, it's a local
I didn't even
guy.
Think he was local. You know, I can't get him to anything. Can't get him to an event. He texts me, I'm not available for this one. Sorry. Thanks for thinking of me. I see him at every other damn event.
Right.
I can't get him to a JTF event, but it's all good. Mark Higgs running right here into the tank. What's going on, Higgy?
Hey, thanks for having me. I've been hearing about it, so I'm just glad to be here, family.
What's up, Lil Woo?
What's up?
What's up, man? It's good to have him in the tank, man. You know, Mark is one of my teammates when I first came in here for the Miami Dolphins back in 93. You know, he'd been there for a couple years, man. But he's one of those guys that showed me the ropes a little bit, Seth. And, you know, but there's a lot of funny stuff.
That explains a lot now. Now I'm starting to understand it a little bit more.
A lot of funny stuff, some good stuff along the way.
Hey, I got a rookie story on OJ.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's just jump into it, man. I had a whole show run, but no, take over.
Let me tell you. All right, we had to run this 12-minute run. So Mark Duper and I, we was like the worst.
Yeah, we heard that.
And so we was running, and, you know, Duke's supposed to be a superstar, so I was following Duke. So, and then OJ lapped us, came back, and tried to help us. And I said, OJ, I said, hey, bro, I appreciate your help, but it's not going to work. We're not going to make it. So just go ahead and try to help somebody else. Right. And he was a rookie, and he came and actually finished what he done and tried to help us.
Yeah.
I said, dang, man, that guy's great.
You know? That's a good teammate already,
good
right?
Teammate.
Hey, I was just trying to kiss a lot of ass early, man. Just kiss some ass with the right guys.
Apparently it was the wrong guys, though. Higgy said it was a waste of effort.
It was a waste of effort on us, but Mark Duper and I, we was like the worst on the 12-minute run. We just knew we was going to be running the next day at 5 in the morning.
Well, you know, you always had those mysterious hamstring injuries about 12-minute run time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's what Lou said.
I had a few things, you know. It was always something come up when it came up for a 12-minute run.
It's not a distance guy.
You know, one time I had an asthma attack, you know.
Do you have asthma?
I had asthma.
Okay, so it's real.
Sure, yeah.
But, all right, here's what happened. Chuck Klingbeil, he was like 300-something pounds and a big defensive lineman.
Sure.
So he was running the 12-minute run, like, practice. I was like, man, Chuck, how you run that like that? He's 300-something pounds. Shoot, I'm 200, and I couldn't run like that. So I was like, Chuck, what are you on?
Right.
So Chuck gave me
he didn't answer, did he?
Chuck gave me this little pill to take.
Oh, shit.
So I took it. Chuck was the chemist of the team.
Yeah.
So Chuck gave me this little pill. I said, all right, I'm going to take this. So I took it in warm-ups. I had almost, oh man, all I remember, I ended up in the table, in the training table. And then Coach Shula had a meeting, team meeting, said, "Hey, what the fuck's going on? Some of you doctors, players trying to be doctors now. Leave the doctors to the doctors, the real doctors." You almost kill somebody out there today.
Did we ever figure out what the pill was?
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't think you want to know.
But it got me out of 12-minute run. Yeah, yeah. To tell you that. So,
whatever it takes.
Almost got me out for life.
Yeah. Got you out of,
I don't know if it's worth it. I don't
run.
Think it was worth it being here.
Hey, I got out of that 12-minute run. Every year was like a experience trying to make 12-minute run. I was like, okay, how am I going to make it this year? What excuse I'm going to come up with this year?
How am I going to make it by not making it,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah. What excuse I'm going to come up with this year?
Yeah, it's one of the craziest tests.
My hamstrings tightening up or what?
Yeah. Well,
you heard about that hammy.
Is my back tightened? I don't know.
Yeah, the funniest thing is watching him run, because his hamstring and back do actually go. And, you know, he also, you know, you see his head go back, Seth. And when his head goes back within 2 or 3 minutes of a 12-minute run, that's not a good
sign. No,
not a
wait
good
a minute.
Sign.
His head's going
like,
back.
Yeah, you know how you are, you know.
But we had some players. It was like the comedy show watching 12-minute run. You see Jeff Cross. We say, okay, we betting on him. We know his back's going to lock up somewhere. Oh, is it on the third lap, fourth lap? We be betting over.
We're basically validating everything Lewis Oliver had to say.
Exactly
this entire
right.
show
exactly
here.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Fantastic. Well, look, we're going to have a lot of good Dolphin stories to talk about, because truly, Juice, one of the great underdog stories in the history of this franchise. But before we get too deep into the Dolphin stories, I want to go back to your roots. Is it Owensboro, Kentucky?
Owensboro, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
So, Juice, I looked it up. His senior year, okay, now I get every, you know, all you guys make it to the league, you had great high school careers, at least 90% of you. But Higgy, they said his senior year, literally the entire offense, every play he carried the rock, had almost 3,000 yards rushing, 32 touchdowns.
Damn.
And 9 200-plus-yard games.
Damn.
Is that real, or does somebody lie on your Wikipedia page?
Oh, yeah. We had some good games back then. I had a good offensive line. Our team worked. We liked running the ball.
That's obvious.
That's what it sounds like.
We didn't throw the ball much. So it was pretty good.
That explains your hands then, or lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly. I you know what was wild, OJ? We ran the ball so much, I ain't never wanted to catch the ball.
Right.
So it's like, I felt good, like somebody handing the ball to me versus somebody throwing the ball to me. But I didn't realize until I got to the pros I needed it.
Until Dan Marino was your quarterback.
Yeah. Well, before that, I had Randall Cunningham. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Randall actually taught me. He took me to the park on the off day and started throwing the ball to me.
Like a father taking his son to the park.
Yeah. He's like, "You gonna learn how to catch." And what I found out, because at practice, Randall was hitting me in the head with the ball, you know, and I wasn't reacting. But I found out I couldn't see. And I didn't wear my contacts.
That's another running back that couldn't
see.
Terry Kirby was the first one.
Terry's Jedi, though. He got that one eye. That one eye, Terry's stronger than my both eyes. So they sent me, Philadelphia sent me to the eye doctor. And I found out I couldn't see. So I started wearing my contacts, and then I could see. And then when I got down the Dolphins, I was like, all right, some days I ain't want to wear my contacts. So I said, hey, don't throw me the ball. So I always made sure I had my contacts in for game day, because I knew Dan, I was going to be the last emergency, and I better not miss a ball. So I called every ball he threw to me.
So Sundays were okay for contacts. You were taking a few off, though.
During the week, you better not throw me a ball. But we had certain quarterbacks.
You must be really prepared on Sundays.
We had certain quarterbacks, though, like Scott Mitchell and them. They would throw me a ball. I'm like, don't throw me a ball, Scott. Throw it to the receivers. I don't have my contacts in today.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about your high school career, how legendary it was. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm from Ohio. I don't know how good the football was in high school in Kentucky. I'll give it to you a little bit. But going to the University of Kentucky, I had a stellar career there. But you got drafted late. You got drafted in the 8th round.
That's because I couldn't catch.
Because you couldn't catch.
I would have been.
You couldn't see.
And
both.
I would have been a first rounder easy if I could catch the ball. I went to the combine. I was so bad when they throwing me a ball. It was like, man, give up. I'm just, I was that bad. I was like, just hand me the ball.
Right.
So
right.
That's how. That's why I went eighth round. And
nothing to do with your height.
No, Gil Brandt was he was
the big man for the Cowboys.
For the Cowboys, yeah. And we was in the Blue Gray All Star game. And he seen me run the ball. He's like, hey, we need him. He's like baby Herschel.
Right.
And I got drafted by the Cowboys, eighth round, because of Gil Brandt. And Herschel Walker was there. And my idol was Tony Dorsett.
Yes,
I love Tony Dorsett.
33.
I wore 33 in high school just because Tony D. And then I get drafted by him. I was like, oh, man, when I'm going to the Cowboys, I'm definitely not making it. You got Herschel Walker and Tony Dorsett there.
And you weren't getting 33, right?
And
you're giving up that number.
I was like, I said, how am I going to make this team? So when I went there, that was back when you could bring in a bunch of people in training camp. So we had 15 running backs.
Damn.
15 running backs. And keep in mind, I'm sitting like, oh, man, we go to a high-powered offense because Cowboys used to do a bunch of shifting.
Oh, yeah.
They was real fancy. They was the first
line to stand up and hide the shift.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it, man. And I was a big Cowboy fan.
Loved it, but it was so hard to learn. And Michael Irvin and I was roommates. And so it was hard for, you know, even Mike to pick up on all this shifting and
you
stuff.
You room with Michael Irvin?
Oh,
how did that happen?
Oh, that was another story.
That's a lot of stories.
That was a lot of stories. Yeah, Mike, playmaker. The playmaker was, he was something else. He's like you, OJ. He could run all day, too. He would come and get me. He's like, hey, man, I'd be in the back of the line. He'd be like, come on, man, come on, come on. I'm like, dang, what is he on?
Y'all receivers
is something
that's
special.
That's a different episode right there. So even at Combine, you said you couldn't catch, but you had a 44-inch vertical and other thing. You lifted the world. You said you were one of three running backs at Kentucky that could lift over 400 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
All that worked out, but just the catching part.
The catching part, it was rough. And so
44-inch vertical.
Yeah,
I had the highest, near 4 feet.
The hops.
I had the highest vertical in the NFL at that time. And so that was cool. And you know, it came in handy. I used to play basketball against OJ.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
But, hey, you don't want to play against OJ at his house. Hey,
why is that? Tell us why.
You got to run through about 50 picks. Everybody's picking you. I'm like, and I always had to check OJ because I was the shortest one. So I'd rather check somebody tall, you know, because I could muscle them and use my leverage. But OJ, I got to run around.
I saw him in a 12-minute run. I knew I could run him in the ground.
Oh, man.
I'm worried about that.
I was so tired. I said, I'm going to just wait till he come to back to this side.
And I'm guessing from what we're hearing, he's probably not much of a three-point shooter.
No, not
a long-range guy.
You try to play defense, man, until you run it out of him.
Hey, I broke away on a layup one time. Zach Thomas was coming. I had to stop because if I went up on the layup, he was going to literally tackle me. I was like, I know he couldn't slow down, so I just stopped. I said, hold up. It's not that serious, man.
Right.
I'm retired. You still playing. I ain't getting paid.
That's right.
He used to play those early games, and then he kind of started to disappear. Man. Now I understand why.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is too funny.
Some good
He's
games.
Kind of a mid-range guy, right? A little mid-range pull-up jumper.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. We had some good games.
Elevation.
I remember you over, Seth.
Yeah.
You play with Allen, too.
Seth was over.
You play with Allen on the road trips, right?
All the time. I was defensive guy.
There you go.
They put me in for
You're
defense.
Down. You weren't down.
Yeah.
You're down.
You're down. Hey, that was a story too, boy. Bobby Harden, he used to play for UM in safety, and Bobby was up for a big contract. He was going to have a good contract. And I, you know, at that time, I just started running the ball a lot. So in the offseason, I didn't want to get hurt, mess up my stuff. So we was playing the game, and Allen wanted me to go in the game. He's like, hey, the fans come out here. They want to see you play a little bit. I said, and Bobby and I was the ones supposed to rotate with each other. So I said, okay. I said, Bobby, Allen want me in. It was only like 2 minutes left in the game, and Allen called timeout. Higgy, you get in. I said, like, okay. Hey, Bobby. Bobby said, Higgy, you hadn't played all game. Why you want to play now? I'll finish up. So, man, shortly after that, Bobby tore his Achilles.
Oh, man.
Cost his career. Messed his career.
That contract.
Wow. Missed out a big contract.
A lot of guys don't do that anymore, and they don't play for that reason now, for sure. Bigger contracts, bigger guarantees, and you definitely don't want to mess it up in the offseason. We did it all the time, though.
Big money.
We were playing against teachers, principals, police departments, fire departments, you know, making them extra couple bucks that came in in handy.
Yep, and plus we stayed in shape doing it. Yeah. You know, it was good workout. A lot
not
of
not 12-minute run shape, but
sprints. It helps you a little quick.
Those quick bursts.
That quick bursts. That's what you need. That's all you need.
Absolutely.
Look at Duper. He's a sprinter. He never made 12-minute run.
Man, don't even go there with that.
Circumstances right there.
I know.
A whole different deal. So drafted by Dallas. 15 running backs there. Mm. Plan B free agency. Those were the Plan B days. So you went to Philly, as you said, with Randall Cunningham. And then you end up here in Miami in 1990. So you go from Tom Landry to Buddy Ryan to Don Shula.
Oh, yeah.
How many guys can say that, Juice?
Not very many.
And all of them are totally different. When I say totally different, Tom Landry was like, you know, the legend that wear the hat and stuff like that. And the only time I got on TV was when I stayed behind him. I'm behind him. You see Coach Landry, you see me right in the back. That's how I would get on TV because I knew I wasn't going to get in the game. But so Coach
Landry. I play for this team.
Yeah, Coach Landry, he's so polite. He's never said a curse word. Never. Mm. He's real religious, real quiet. You wouldn't even know what he's at practice like. Well, then you go to Buddy Ryan. Ooh.
A little different.
Buddy's a total war. If he loves you, he loves you. But he's going to go to war for you. But he will call you every name, cuss everybody out and everything. He was something else. And then when I got Shula, Shula's more like a politician. You know, he runs everything, you know, right. You know, from what kind of soap's in the shower or something, you know. Right. He's
total control.
He's
everything.
Total control and everything. So they were totally different. And so at Philadelphia had the number one defense in the NFL. We had Reggie White. Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, Seth Joyner, some of the best defensive players.
Yeah,
so it was so tough at practice. And Andre Waters, Dirty Waters. Andre would try to come and cut my legs out, and we on the same
team at
practice. I was like, Andre, I would jump him. I was like, what you doing? And then, I get in a fight with him. Then I got to fight the whole defense.
Right.
You know, here comes Reggie. Here comes Jerome. And then I'm like, okay.
Buddy Ryan probably wasn't far behind either.
Yeah.
Loved his defense.
So I'm like, okay, I know this is the no-win battle, you know. So after playing a year there, I had to get out. Plan B came up. I said, I'm getting out of here because, first of all, I had Keith Byers. I had Keith Jackson. They ain't blocked.
Right. That's all they did was receive.
They wanted to catch the ball.
Yep.
Keith Byers was 260 pounds. I'm 200 pounds. And they had me lead blocking for him.
Right.
And so I left there.
That's the way Keith dialed it up.
Yeah, so then I left there.
And they followed
me. And they followed me. I was like, what the heck is going on? I said, okay, first we had Mike Golick. We had Keith Jackson, Keith Byers, the whole Philly team. We had about Ron Heller. We had about six guys that came from Philly. I was like, oh, man, I'm back in the zone.
Hey, you know what, Hickey? This is the first time. That's a good point. It's the first time we've had a chance to talk about Plan B free agency.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time it's come up on the show. Can you explain that a little bit and how it came about for you and getting down to Miami?
Well, it was great because when I went to the Cowboys, I was eighth round pick, like you said. My base salary was $63,000. I got a $20,000 signing bonus. Okay, think about it. The following year, Jimmy Johnson was coming in, and Mike Irvin was like, hey, Jimmy, he'll love you. He'll love you. Well, Jimmy wanted me to keep my same contract, which the following year, I was only going to make $73,000. No signing bonus, nothing. So Plan B came in, was the greatest thing. I got $50,000 to go to Philly and $350,000 base. You do the math.
A no-brainer.
That was a no-brainer.
You
don't have to carry the one on that one.
Yeah, but, you know, Mike said, man, don't worry. I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of it. I said, Mike, man, I got to be my own man. I got to move on. So I left and went to Philly. And then the same thing occurred, Plan B again. I was able to get another signing bonus to come to the Dolphins. I was like, shoot, instead of staying in this cold weather, I can get the same amount of money with another signing bonus for like $50,000 to come in the warm weather.
Right.
Plan B, right?
Right.
All the way through, man.
Tax-free state, exactly.
But get this. I could have did it again with the Dolphins. And I said, hey, man, I can't keep moving. I got to make a stand. And I was taking.
Can't keep moving, or you just were liking that Miami.
I was taking the chance of staying too, because we had I was like the fourth running back, so
it was
tight, you know, and I barely made it.
Who were the guys in front of you at that point?
Oh man, we had
Sammy Smith had just been drafted.
Yeah,
right?
Sammy Smith. Sammy was there. And
so was Troy still there? We had Troy. Was Troy Stafford
there?
Still there?
Troy was there when I got here.
Yeah, he wasn't real happy about the whole Sammy Smith thing. He made that clear on this show.
So it was a whole, you know, they had a bunch of backs, and I made it because Sammy got hurt. And that's how I made it, and different stuff happened, you know.
Yeah, well, we know you weren't doing any special teams. That's for damn sure.
I hated special teams.
But you got there in 1990, though, but in 91, though, you were the starter.
But let me tell you, on special teams, I did get a touchdown. My first touchdown in the NFL. Westfall put me over this 300-pound center, and he told me, Higgy, just don't get hit. And I said,
Wait, that was the coaching move? So Westhoff says, hey, this is what we're going to do. Don't get hit.
Yeah. He said, just don't get hit.
Guy's a genius.
I got back there so fast to the punter, I could have took the ball. And so then I blocked the punt, got the kick. Here come Lewis Oliver trying to take the ball from me. I was like, you ain't getting this ball. Lewis trying to take the ball and running for a touchdown. I was like, no.
Did all the work.
I did all this work. Hey, let me tell you. So after that, every team knew what was happening, so they put 200-300 pounds on me. Then I just laid on the ground, curled up like a shell. Hey, Mike Westphal put on the film, said, "What is Higgy doing on this play?"
Hey, Mike was great at calling people out.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was like, "What is Higgy?" I was curled up trying to protect myself.
Don't get hit, coach.
Hey, they had 200-300 pounds on me that time. I was like, "Oh, this play's not going to work anymore, coach." He said, "Nah, okay, I know."
Draw something else up.
Yeah.
I think you're the reason they don't allow people to line up over the center anymore, right, Higgy?
Going
around and blowing them up, right?
Oh, man, I got through it so quick. Juice, hey. But, you know, they do the scouting report.
Yeah. It only takes one time. Well, good stuff, man. Once you did take over that starting role in 91, though, man, you led the team in rushing for three straight seasons. And you're the first guy to do that since Larry Zonka, the Hall of Famer.
Mark Higgs.
That's it.
Well, and let me tell you, about the first six games 1 year, I had about 500 yards. So you do the math. I should have had at least 1,200 yards. I ain't miss a game.
Right.
But after that, we started
throwing the ball around.
And so I started telling the boys, I said, hey, man, if y'all not going to hand me the ball, at least let me know before the game so I won't be on the sideline.
So I can leave my contacts at home?
No, so I can eat steaks and stuff. So what the guys would do, some of the wide receivers, they let me know, hey, bro, we're going to air the ball out. They'll come and drop their steak on my table at breakfast. So
you could eat more pregame.
Yeah, so
if you weren't going to.
So I knew I won't be starving on the sidelines for four quarters. So
literally and figuratively.
So I would eat, you know, I eat about two or three steaks. And I'd be, all right, I'll watch the game. I got front row seats.
So right. Under normal circumstances, you were getting a little hungry on the sidelines? Is that what you're saying?
Heck yeah. I was like, if you're not playing, then you just got a front row seat. I might as well get me a beer and get me something to eat. Since I couldn't get the beer, I had to eat a little more.
So
some of the receivers would come up and say, hey, bro, no, we're going to air it out today, Dan and all that. I said, okay, all right, I know how that goes. So I went from literally, if you look at my stats, I went from like 20-something carries a game to like really like 5 to 10.
Right.
5 to 10 for a running back like me, you can't do anything because you can't really set up defense, stuff like that, because you only going to get so many plays, so you can't be playing around trying to set up defenses and stuff like that. See, when it comes to a running back, you're not just running. You got to look at play tricks on different defenses. You got to like be able to set them up. And a running back, you know, sometimes you linebackers see them do certain things, and then all of a sudden you change it up on them. You know,
so give us an example of that, because I find that fascinating.
Right.
So tell us what's happening, or is there a specific example against a specific team?
Like, for example, all right, you see a team and they over pursue it. So you go to the play side, strong side, and you stay to that side. But you see out of the corner of your eye, you see this one defense end coming down the line real hard. So, all right, I started setting them up. So if I got time to do it, so next time I cut back. So I cut all the way back And like a lot of times I tell Richmond and Keith, I'm like, I'm coming back. And they would seal the guy down. And then I cut all the way back and you get big yards. But you got to be in the game a lot to be.
You got to run that. And then they've got them all pursuing. Now you can make that cut.
Set them up. Yeah. So and you communicate with your lineman and say, hey, you know, say, hey, Deli, you know, like even Deli, like when we used to block, they say, hey, can you help me out? Can you chip before you go out, stuff like that? So yeah. We had good communication. The offensive line for the Dolphins was great because I played for four different teams, and the offensive line here was the greatest. Right. We had the best offensive line. Dan had a quick release, but still we had a great line. Quick release is not, you know, you still need a good line for that. You know, I played with quarterbacks, got quick release too, but you don't have no line, it's no help. We had a great line. I mean, they worked good as a unit and stuff like that. You know, they wasn't over strong, but, you know, they knew how to get the job done. And we all communicated together to, you know, help out and stuff like that. Even with Kirby, when they come in on third downs and stuff like that, they would chip Jim Jensen and stuff like that. They'd chip different guys. And Dan was great at knowing his protection, how to protect himself. So Dan would say, hey, this guy's beating this guy. Hey, check that guy out before you go. I don't care.
We've heard that story from Dan.
I don't care what you do. You need to check that guy out.
Troy Stafford said the same thing, that he was asked to chip a lot. Dan didn't want to get hit, so he wanted that chip block.
But great quarterbacks know how to protect themselves, and that's why he's a great quarterback.
Good design is good business, but great design can be a game changer. Whether you need a new company logo, dynamic presentation decks, or want to bring a Wynwood-style mural to your corporate office or event, Thunderous Genius will exceed all of your expectations. The Thunderous team has worked with your favorite sports franchises, athletes, and entertainers, and can't wait to bring that perfect blend of creativity and structure to you as well. So contact them at ThunderousGenius.com. Say that the Fish Tank sent you, and receive a 50% discount off your first project. Half off! So what are you waiting for? It's time to get Thunderous.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one stop for all things Miami Dolphins. With news, commentary, video, interviews, and the Webby Award-winning DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast, DolphinsTalk.com has you covered on all of the latest happenings surrounding the Miami Dolphins. Whether it's training camp, the draft, free agency, or the current Miami Dolphins season, DolphinsTalk.com has it covered. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to visit the website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day. That's DolphinsTalk.com.
Now, they're talking about the chip, Juice. I think you got a little intel that Higgy had a nickname when it came to that.
Yeah, the lawnmower.
Tell us about the lawnmower, man.
Yeah, Buddy Ryan gave me the lawnmower.
Oh, really? It came from Buddy Ryan.
When I was at Philly, Buddy gave me the lawnmower because I used to cut guys, and they used to put it on highlight film. Buddy would have a highlight film of all the big hits. Like, you know, the night before the game, instead of watching other teams, you know, we wouldn't watch other teams. We'll watch our highlight film.
Get you hyped up. Big hits.
Yeah. And you would get $100. You come up and get your $100, and then they show it on the film, your big hit. So they would have me, the lawnmower. So I knew how to cut guys. And since I was short, I ain't had to go all the way to the ground, Seth. So what I would do, I would, when guys try to jump me, I flip them. I could flip them. And stuff like that.
For real.
Yeah, they be flipping their hair.
And so, can you hear me in the back?
So
flip them for real.
Yeah. So I knew certain guys, I knew I could flip them. I knew I could almost break their ankles because I knew how to roll into them. So the lawnmower was dangerous.
Yeah,
I like the lawnmower. Hey, I want to get some film.
Like a Higgs and Stratton,
One time we was playing against the Cowboys. I was at Philadelphia.
This is on fire.
And check this out. Buddy called timeout because Jim Jeffcoat had just hit Randall late, and Buddy called timeout, brought the whole team over, and said, hey, we're going to get him back. So they said, lawnmower, get in the game. All right. Ron Heller's job was to hold up.
You had six stakes in you, and you're like, oh, shit, they're calling.
At that time, I was barely on the team, couldn't eat like that then.
So you were starving on the sideline. I got you.
So we go against Jim Jeff Coke gets, I played with Jim the year before, so I knew him. So I told him when I was going in the game, Ron Heller was in charge of holding him up, and then he was going to let him go like soon as I come, and I was supposed to take his knee out. So I was
chop block.
I was like, oh man, come on, man.
That's your buddy, yeah.
That's my buddy. So when I was going in the game, I said, I was yelling at Jim, I'm coming.
Oh, you felt a little guilty. Yeah, it's like that scene in Karate Kid, man, when they tried to take Daniel's son out.
So what he did,
Cobra Kai up in here.
Jim just fell to the ground and got on his knees. And so I couldn't cut him, so it worked out. You know? Right. I was like, oh, man.
Now, did Buddy see that on film later and ask what happened to the lawnmower?
Nah, because he fell to the ground. So okay. So
felt like you did your job.
Yeah, felt like I did my job.
Wow. Saved his ass.
But, yeah, Buddy gave me the lawnmower. He didn't call me by my name. He was, hey, lawnmower. So keep in mind, I went to Arizona my last two seasons.
Right.
And Buddy would say,
he was back there, huh?
So, yeah. So, the Dolphins released me, right, on a Tuesday or so. And then I go to Arizona. So, sure, I get over there, take my physical on Friday, do a walkthrough. I didn't know the players and stuff. Buddy said, Lamo, I want you to suit up. I was like, what do you want me to suit up for? I don't know no plays. I don't know no players. So in warm-ups, they had me do a warm-up. And this one linebacker named Eric Hill, he's big old dude, look like a big prison guy, boy. This guy out of prison, look like a big dude. He's 260 pound, man, about 6'3". Oh, man, bald head, man, look like, oh, man, he's angry too, boy. I said, oh, shoot. So this dude, hey, you know, in warm-ups, I don't have stuff wrapped up. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, we on the goal line, we supposed to be just, you know, we stand up and slow down.
Right.
This dude ran through me. I mean, when he ran through me, he knocked me on my back and my head hit the thing. I was like, what happened? I said, what is going on? We on the same team. This is in warm-ups. Eric, I said, man, I can't wait to get back, man. I'm ready to quit. So then Larry Sanders helped me, said, hey, man, you need to stay away from him in warm-ups. He gets a little hype. I said, now you tell me. So then the game starts. All right, Garrison Hurst is in there. And Buddy brought me, because Garrison was hurt, and he brought me to motivate Garrison and stuff like that. So, Garrison came, was having trouble. He had a bad knee that year. And he just running out
that was,
there.
That
one
was rookie
late.
Year, right?
He came in without an ACL or something,
right?
Yeah.
Came out same year.
So they call, Buddy calls a timeout. Buddy loves calling a timeout. Lawnmower. So I'm on the sidelines. I ain't even watching the game. I'm sitting on the bench, mad. Like, he said, hey, lawnmower. And all the players like, hey, you the only lawnmower on the team. Where you? Buddy wants you. I said, Buddy wants me. What do you want me for? Buddy said, lawnmower, I need you to go in. I'm like, what? I'm not even strapped up. So I'm over there, had to strap up. I'm like, go in and do what? I don't know no plays, Buddy. I don't even know the quarterback. I said, Buddy said, go. I go in the game, and we playing. Man, I think we was playing against NFL.
I hope it was an NFL team.
No, like against Philly. I think we was playing. It was a tough team.
Oh, an NFC team.
Yeah, right. NFC team. And so I go in the quarterback say, what you want to run? I said, I don't know. I said, I didn't even know the quarterback's name. So he said, hey, we got to run something.
So you introduce yourself in the huddle? Hey, yeah, how you doing, Marquez? Yeah.
So he said, all right, I'm going to step to the right, and you just hand me the ball. I ain't know the play count. I ain't know the calls. I ain't know nothing.
You had to watch
everybody move, and then so it worked. So I got 7 yards. So I was trying to head off to the sideline. Buddy's like, stay in there.
You're on fire.
Yeah. So they said, run it again. So I run something again. So I go quarterback. He said, what you want to run now? I said, I guess we do the same thing. Go to the left. This time, step to the left. I pick up another 7 yards. First down. Buddy's like, do it again. Yeah. Every time I'm trying to get to the sideline. Juice, I ran 5 times, picked up 50 yards. That was it. I was like,
didn't even know the quarterback's name.
Didn't know the plays.
Do we know his name to this day? Do we know who the quarterback was?
Oh man. No. We had a different quarterback every week there.
Yeah.
At that time.
What were you doing in the film room? Like, I mean, I get sleeping, it the first time. Okay.
Sleeping. Shoot, I wasn't paying no attention.
You just got there and you were sleeping already.
I was so mad. I didn't want to be there. I was like.
A little different than your first go around with
the Dolphins were getting ready to go to the playoffs, yeah. And I was going to a team that hadn't won a game. Yeah. I think. Wow. Yeah. So I was so pissed.
Well, we've heard the reverse on this show, which has happened too, when the Dolphins are struggling. But
different time, different era.
So I was so pissed at being out there.
But you were popular down here, though, too.
Yeah, let's get him back to Miami.
Yeah. You were very popular.
He's getting a little upset right
back,
now.
Yeah, let's
this
go
is
back,
a spot
man.
Right here.
Yeah,
man.
Miami's a place. I was like, you know, I had used to have a sports bar called Higgy's.
Oh, yeah.
Higgy's Go Line Cafe. It was fun.
I put on my members only jacket today. Wanted to feel like I was going into Higgy's, man.
We had so much fun at Higgy's, man. Every Sunday after the game or Monday night, man, we had a blast.
I used to chase guys down, pay their tab in the locker room. I'm like, they used to say, oh, it's on Higgy. No, man. Yeah. Come on now.
That was a big thing. I remember Bo Camper. You told Bo Camper, like, Bo, when I had my restaurant, dog, I used to like everybody drink, you know, eat for free or half off. And Bo said, that's why you used to have it.
Yeah.
Where's Higgy's now?
Oh man, yeah, that's the truth.
It was a
good party. It sounds like
it was a great spot.
I mean, it would be good. Oh, all the women. Oh man,
I don't know. I was there for the food and the drink, Higgy.
Oh man.
So talk about that, Higgy.
That was South Florida.
You go
that's,
from.
That's why I'm still here in South Florida.
Haven't ever left since then.
I just love the beauty. The beauty of South Florida.
There's a lot of it out there, for sure. But yeah, talk about that. So here you are, a guy who, you know, felt you should have been drafted in the first round. You go in the eighth round, have to plan B your way to two different teams, fighting through 15 running backs here and four there, and you get to Miami. Now you're leading the team in rushing and developing, you know, fan favorite. Talk about how did your life change off the field? Like, give us an example of how things changed for you.
Oh, it was totally different because people recognize you when you go out and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to get free dinners and stuff like that. It was pretty nice. It was like, yeah. I was like, dang. And, you know, you'd be out certain places, you didn't realize people know you. You're just like, wow, Lee, these people really know me. I'm like, oh, shoot. Everybody coming up. So it was great, you know. So,
and he had one of those nicknames, right? So did everyone feel like they knew Higgy because he had
one
of those?
Right, exactly. Yeah. One-word names.
Yeah, so it was easy.
Like Madonna, I think Tiger.
And Higgy.
I think Coach Shula gave me that name.
Did he?
I think Coach Shula.
So you didn't get – so you went from Lawnmower
to
Higgy.
Yeah. That's nice. Because, see, you got to think, we had about 10 marks on the team. When I got here, Mark Dupin, Mark Clayton, Mark Dennis, Mark, we had a lot of marks. We had a lot of marks. So Shula gave me Higgy.
And that's a good one, man.
And it stuck.
It's a good thing when you get a nickname that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he could have called you like Pee Wee or Pipsqueak.
Yeah.
If those would have stuck, you'd be like,
damn, Juice, why'd you go there?
I didn't mean that, you know. Damn. I could have Tiny. I mean, there's different things that you don't want to
Yeah, stick. We get it.
Yeah. So it came out good. It worked out good.
Good stuff.
So you embraced Higgy. It wasn't like, damn, it sounds like a child's toy.
It worked out good. I was like,
I mean, you named your restaurant. So.
Yeah, I took it to the next level.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, it's funny thing. I talked to TK about, you know, having you in the tank. And, you know, he came in as a rookie with me in 1993. And I said, yeah, give me something funny about Higgy or something that he did to you. And he used to tell me about how you used to make him run all of the 9-on-7 drills as a rookie. Oh. You didn't want no part of the 9-on-7. You wouldn't be-
Well, here's the thing. Every year the Dolphins would draft a running back trying to get somebody to take my place.
Right.
So Terry, I knew he's a big running back, big guy. And I knew he wouldn't be able to take the hits and stuff like that. So I embraced it. I said, hey, in preseason, I don't want to take no hits. So I said, I let him take all the reps.
Wear this young buck out, huh?
Yeah, I used to let him take all the reps. And what I did, I let him take so many reps, he was hurt by the first regular season game. And I was fresh. I think I ran 30 times for 150 yards against Buffalo. And I was fresh.
Veteran move right there.
I think the year before that, we had Aaron Craver they drafted.
Oh, yeah, I remember Craver.
And another big back. So let me tell you about him. He's another big back. This guy built like a Greek god. But he played out. He came from California in one of these small schools in San Diego or something. One of them small schools. So he wasn't used to taking hits. That's the difference. When you play, I played in the SEC. SEC was like playing in the pros.
Tell them about it, Higgy.
The pros was actually easier. The pros was actually easier for me than the SEC.
It was easier, Juice.
Because the reason why, because you got D linemen just as fast as you. And that makes the difference. Well, Aaron Craver wasn't used to all that stuff. So when Aaron came here, we played against Denver. It was Monday Night Football, preseason, out at Denver. They had Atwater and Dennis Smith, two of the biggest safeties, right? So Tony Nathan, he's running back coach, he come up to me and said, hey, Mark, we're going to let Aaron start the game. I was like, sure, okay, it's preseason. take the whole
Perfect.
Game. So anyway, Aaron got in there, got hit. Boom, boom. Dennis Smith, Atwater, tearing them up, boy. Hey, he come over to the sideline and said, hey, can you get in for me? Nope. Nope, coach wants to see you. You going back in there. So he goes back in there, get tore up, boom, boom. He fumbles, and here comes Shula's like getting on Tony like, hey, go get Higgy. Shit, Tony come over to me. I said, no, y'all want him to go in? Y'all keep him in there. No. Tony's like, come on, Higgy. Come on, man. Come on. Right. Don't do me like that.
Right.
So then I had to go in and finish the game out because the young boy wasn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah, taught him a lesson.
Yeah, though. Taught him lessons. And so
this ain't Fresno.
No, not Fresno. And so Terry, I made him do all the reps at practice, so I knew he was going to be beat up at 9:07. That's right. The roughest thing, man. You can do.
Oh, you that's know? A running back. And, I hated and, that. And with then, the safety, with the free, the safeties have nobody to block him.
Oh,
in there.
Yeah. So he's definitely getting hit all day. And then preseason games, he was getting hit because I wasn't going in. I was like, okay, you go ahead. You know, let the rookie take it.
That's hilarious.
I know the plays. He don't.
Right. You need the rep. You need the live ammo.
He
right?
needs the live ammo.
He knew the plays in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona was a little different.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought the Miami offense was crazy tough to learn. Oh.
But well, you got to think, Juice, I came from four different offenses.
Yeah.
But I was also, well, what y'all know, I was all SEC academic.
Hey.
I want
check
people,
out the big lot, brains on Higgy.
A lot of people don't know. I had to learn five offenses in, like, in 5 years.
I won't touch the curriculum that the football team went to make you all academic. I'm going to leave that alone.
I was all SEC academic.
Look it up.
That's my most proud award. Look it up.
Google that.
You know, another thing TK told me is that, you know, afterwards we run the sprints, you're like always like last, like lagging last until the last one when you want to try to blow everybody out the water. Fresh legs.
Yeah, I used to lay back. You know, let them, you know. And then the last two, when I knew they tired. Man, we used to train together. Lou and Terry Kirby, we used to all train together. And so I used to do the same thing with them. They used to get so pissed. Lou and Terry, both, there you go, Higgy. There you go. Why you wait the last one? And they couldn't catch me.
Right.
Because I'd be so fresh. like we might run 2100s and stuff. So on 18, 19, I see them hurting. I'm like, okay.
Turn it on.
I got it. And he was so pissed.
Like those mattered more or something right, than the right. others.
But oh, yeah.
Finish it strong.
It's like making that last shot when you leave the court, right?
Finish it strong. They died out. I was still around.
TK seems like he's still pissed about it, Drew.
Man, he's bitter. He's bitter about a lot of like stuff, I can tell. Pissed.
But ask Lewis Oliver about it, too. He was pissed, too.
Well, I'm glad you said ask Lewis Oliver, because we did have Lou in the tank. You probably should have listened to that episode before you came in the tank with us.
I know he's killing me.
But Lou had a lot of stories to talk about. Yeah. Higgy, didn't he?
He really did, man. And one of them was the hamstring issue and, the 12-minute run stuff. And you talked about him and Jarvis being the jokesters of the team.
Oh, yeah. I was probably the best actor, though. I probably won the best actor.
You got the
award.
Oscar award. For
I got the Oscar. I got the Oscar one year.
Yeah, he said right
probably,
before cut
I
down.
Probably, I was probably best actor around. You know.
Tell us about that.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember that.
But I just, well, let me refresh your memory.
I just know I was the best actor one time. You know.
Lou said you got a heads up that you were going to get a practice in, and then they were going to release you.
Yeah, that's messed up. How you gonna make a person practice then cut them?
Right.
Cut me before. What's going on?
Seems
with
to
that?
Be a common
you know,
theme.
That's messed up.
Yeah. So somebody gave you word that that potentially could happen at the conclusion of this practice.
Well, you know.
And then there was a play.
Well, Coach Shula had a meeting before, a team meeting, and said, hey, we're going to have to let somebody go at the end of the practice. Well, I'm at the end of the totem pole. I'm like, okay, everybody's looking at me when you say that. I mean, like the whole team.
Oh, wait, he said this to the entire team.
Yeah,
this wasn't
we
just
had
to
team,
his coaching
no,
staff.
No, we had a team meeting. A team meeting right before practice.
One of you's getting fired.
One of you getting fired in the practice. Everybody looked at me because I was the lowest on totem pole. You know, at the time, I wasn't hardly playing anything. So.
I remember one of Hickey's famous sayings is, you know, you work me long, but you can't work me hard.
Yes, yes. That was my saying.
Where'd that come from?
That came from way back. I think way back. You can work me long, but you can't work me hard.
Hey,
I probably used to tell OJM and Terry, I know the and Bernie Parmalee. Bernie Parmalee. Those were like my boys because when Terry came here and Bernie came here, they actually stayed at my house. I took them in and let them stay in my house until they, you know, got their own place, got settled and stuff like that. So it was like, we was in competition, but hey, you know, we was like brothers. So I took them in and stuff like that because I was like, I knew, you know, if a guy could beat me out, cool. But, you know, if he can't, hey, we still boys, you know, stuff like that. And then and to be a good teammate, you need those guys because sooner or later somebody's going to get hurt. Yeah. So you got to, as a good teammate, you got to bring up the next guy. Sometimes you're only as good as your backup. You know, a lot of guys concentrate on these starters, but the backups are the ones that's going to play, you know. And late in the season, you need those backups to come through. And so that's why I would train like Bernie Parmalee. Bernie, when he first got here, he used to always run outside. I said, I know you come from Ball State, but you ain't out running Deion Sanders to the corner all the time.
Right.
So I said, you got to learn to cut back, Bernie. If you don't, you're going to get cut. So he started started listening to me and watching how I run, and he started running, and that's how he got better. And actually, he got good enough to beat me out, you know. But
and they were good roommates. They did. They.
That's good. Right.
Well, I think Bernie also. Bernie was a hell of a special teams player too. That really kept him on board too. I don't know if he outright beat you out as a running back, but I think the fact that he did so much, and you know, with Mike, you know, he was on every special teams. He's on, you know. So don't think you got.
He wasn't
beat
curled
out.
Up in a ball.
Right. He wasn't. He wasn't curled up in a ball.
Yeah, he got up there. And then, plus, they was trying to get rid of me because I was making – at that time, a salary cap came in. I was making more than all our running backs put together.
Oh, damn.
I was making more than
And they were staying at your house. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was Terry, Bernie, and Irvin Spikes. And that was the first year they ever kept four halfbacks. Never kept four halfbacks.
How about Spikey?
And so the salary cap came in, so they, you know, once they got rid of me, you know.
Well, Danny had all the money on the salary cap, so he had you became a casualty.
Yeah, I came to casualty.
That's where all the money was, Spikes. I won't bring that up. Staying at your house.
Oh,
huh?
Man. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one, too.
Yeah, that was.
I was in Arizona. I look on TV. I was like, why is my house on TV? And I turned it up. Spikes had threw his wife, man.
That's not funny.
And Drew Rosenhaus was my agent. And he was both our agent. And so I called Drew. I said, hey, man, what's going on? Oh, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I was like, I get back to my house. I had about $10,000 worth of damage in my house. I mean, the wall, I was like, oh, I'm upset. The whole house tore up. And so then I sued him. And it didn't work because he went to jail.
Yeah.
Couldn't get no money.
Yeah, he went for something else.
I think he just got out about 2 years ago.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, then let me not say too much more on that.
I won't get that money back.
What we have found out is that people listen to this show, and not everybody loves what we have
to say.
No comment. We're going to leave it at that. All right, so keeping it moving.
It's the truth. The truth shall set you free.
Fair enough.
Not everybody like the truth, though.
No. And that's the truth.
That is the truth, yeah.
Definitely the truth. So speaking of that, well, not speaking of the truth, but now, Juice, I don't know. This is something else that came out of, I think, maybe Terry Kirby.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if this was a Jeff Cross one. And you might have experienced this firsthand. But
I think we just experienced a little bit of just now. Did you hear
it? I did hear it. We'll have to leave that in. I won't edit that out on this one. But, you know, it seems like sometimes there were some strange noises from what I hear that were coming out of team meeting rooms from right around where Higgy was sitting.
Right, right.
Is that accurate?
Higgy did a little snorting at times.
Oh, but, yeah. You know? What happened in college, Jarvis Williams broke my nose. And so I hadn't been the same since that, you know. And then I was going to get my nose fixed, but Lewis Oliver had his nose done, and he went through so much pain. I said, oh, shoot. If Lewis can't take it, I'm definitely not going to take it. So I never did get my nose done. So I'd be snorting and stuff like that. And, you know, oh, I still wake up, you know.
That's so funny that you ended up playing with those guys. It seems like they just wreaked havoc on you in college.
Funny.
So you were telling us a story beforehand. It's not on the show notes, and Lou told some great stuff. But if you could share with us again this story about playing Florida. This was your senior season?
Yes, my senior year, we was going against Florida. We had Florida, and then we had Tennessee the next game. So Emmitt Smith was the SEC rushing leader. Going in that game, we was about even. I didn't, at that time, I didn't read the scouting report. I should.
I don't know. Did you take the game serious at all, Higgy? You just relied on your talent.
Well, tell the truth.
Did you give a shit at any point?
I didn't read scouting reports until this incident happened to me.
Okay.
I didn't realize.
Right up in Hill, Arizona.
Most safeties, most cornerbacks aren't as big as Lewis Oliver. So I didn't know Lewis Oliver. They was just, all I knew that Lewis, they talked all this stuff about how great this guy is. So I said, I'm going to embarrass him on his own field. I didn't realize he's like 6'3", 225 pounds.
Huge.
And run a full
440. I was glad he's on our team.
Yeah. So instead of running away from him, I cut back into him and it knocked me out. Literally knocked me out of the game. And so I ended up finishing with 50 yards because I ain't played the whole second half, and Emmitt went on and won the rushing title by 50 yards because that cost me when we went head to head.
Yeah,
literally head to head.
But yeah, and that was a lesson learned that Lewis had a big head and stay away from him. And after that, he never touched me again, and I never made that same mistake by running over somebody. And then I started studying the scouting report.
Right.
You know, I started studying linebackers and defensive backs and all who was who. And so it was a lesson learned. It helped me in the pros.
Exactly right. Yeah. You don't get to play with different teams if you don't learn that part of the game.
Yeah.
That's an important part.
That was a life lesson. Yeah. So I guess I give kudos to Lou. He helped me out.
Early on. Now, did he remind you of this moment once you guys became teammates?
Oh, yeah. You know he does. Every day.
So you had him and Jarvis. One guy broke your nose. The other guy knocked you unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hear about that a lot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, right, those guys, and you talk about it, man. Just Jarvis and Lou together. Mm-hmm. You know, in that locker room, on the plane, or wherever it is, man.
That's why DK was taking 907.
Yeah, exactly, man.
They were taking all the rest.
And what's wild, Jarvis died of asthma.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that had the asthma. Most of my whole career, I had asthma problems. And Jarvis, I didn't know he had asthma.
Yeah.
So it's just strange when he died, you know.
Yeah.
Just to see some guys, yeah.
That's a shame. So I want to go ahead. You were going to say something?
But, I wanted to bring up something about the helmet, you know, the incident with Cleveland and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We had that stuff happen at practice all the time.
You're talking about this fight that just happened.
Miles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
My first year
and
the Cowboys.
Marquise Pouncey. Pouncey. He definitely participated.
My first year at the Cowboys, big Nate Newton.
Yep.
Mm. He got busted upside the head with a helmet. He was bloody. And then for the Dolphins, it was Sean Lee and Harry Galbert. Both of these guys are dead today, but rest in peace, both of my boys.
Yeah.
But they got in a bloody fight like that, and Harry had his head busted open. You know.
Well, you know, I was telling people, you know, the other day, it's the first time you really see it in a real game. But when you're doing the joint practices, you see a lot of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you don't get the helmets swinging and connecting. They get some swings in. But that's the first time people like saw, you know, kind of in a real game. And that's why everybody's shocked that, you know, that it happened. But in the heat of the moment,
you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens. Yeah. You know, heat of the moment, you know, a lot of guys regret a lot of things. You know, I seen Jerome Brown ready to attack Buddy Ryan. And off defensive line, like Reggie White, I had to take him. And I'm gonna tell you this: this was like halftime, right? And so I went.
This is not practice.
I was doing a game. I was in the bathroom trying to, you know, take a shit.
appreciate the clarification.
Here comes Jerome hitting the walls and stuff while I'm in the bathroom. I was really shitting then. So Reggie White was holding him and everything. And then at the end of the game, Buddy Ryan and Jerome was hugging each other.
Yep.
And Jerome had one of his best games, had like 2-3 sacks.
I wonder what Buddy said to him to set him off.
Oh, he set him off, but, you know.
It must have been something about his performance at that point, and Jerome's like, man.
It wasn't intentional, but that was Buddy's way.
Trying to light a fire in his ass.
But, yeah, he lit a fire to him. And
under his ass and yours.
Yeah, and mine's too. I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, shoot.
Damn, shake.
Why'd they have to bring him back out? But yeah, it was wild, man. But Reggie White was holding him down and stuff like that. And Reggie was a character too, boy. He could imitate players. He was like Muhammad Ali, and he loved to wrestling.
Heard he was a great teammate.
Oh, he was a great guy.
We did hear he loved to wrestle and to play.
Yeah. He loved to wrestle.
Yeah, Keith Byers said he might come in and you didn't know who it was going to be, but he would put you in a figure four or something. And take
headlock him. Headlock.
There was nothing you could do.
Exactly. We used to watch it, and Buddy had to stop it because Eric Allen, our
DB,
DB, one of our best corners, he got hurt while we was doing all that wrestling stuff. so we had to shut it down.
Buddy, no more wrestling.
Buddy's like, no more wrestling out here.
I mean, you guys realize it's not real, right?
It was real. It really
is. That's what I'm saying. Shoot, you tell
Jerome Brown and Reggie White it's not real.
Someone needed to.
And it wasn't fair because they taking over our little butts. Right. You know, we the little guys and they big old guys.
Yeah, you can't run. You can't run enough.
And Eric Allen missed, I think he missed the practice of a game almost. And Buddy shut it down after that. That was it.
Bunch of big kids.
Yeah,
I'm glad. Maybe that's what Jerome was pissed off about. What do you mean I can't be Andre the Giant? Yeah, that's what pissed him off. So I know we got to get you out of here, Higgy.
Okay.
And we've had you. You know, I'm trying to take every moment here because I don't know. Higgy will disappear again until I see him at OJ's events.
Yeah.
But
I don't miss Juice. So, he got the best ones.
Yeah.
No.
He always got food.
That's the food.
Listen, have you ever seen, I don't know, between Higgy or Jeff Cross, who can crush the buffet line at a nonprofit event better?
They go toe to toe.
Hey, that's what it's there for.
Gotta
get the extra steaks.
Plus, I'm single. You know, I'm single, so I gotta get a meal when I can get it.
Right.
So I look
home-cooked
at
meal.
I look at the vents. I'm like, okay, this vent's gonna have good food. Okay, I make that vent. I make that vent.
All right, now I know. Next time I text you, I'll send you a menu when we invite you to an event.
Yeah.
But you were mentioning this before before pre-pressed record here, and you were talking about the team flights. And you were a popular guy on team flights. Tell us why.
Oh, yeah. I was a commodity on the plane because everybody really wanted me because I was one of the smallest guys. So the big guys always wanted me. They was looking for me. They was like, oh, Higgy, can you sit by me? Can you sit by me? I was like, Richmond Webb, Keith Sims. It's like, hey, man, I got him. Nah, I got him today. I was like, dang. And then I used to always want to sit by the gamblers because I knew they would be up standing around gambling. So I'd have the whole row myself. But then I got these linemen like, no, you sit with me, Higgy. I would feel bad not to sit with them. I'm like, these guys blocking for me, so I got to sit with one of them.
That's too funny.
Gotta keep them happy, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Then
I love it.
Then I got to listen to them snore.
Right. Oh, man.
There you go. Get them back. Get him back with it, Higgy. Oh, man. R.I.P. Jarvis Williams, man. I love it. I love it. Well, Higgy, it's always great to see you, man. I know I'm kidding around a little bit. Have supported what we do. I know you always support what Juice does.
Yeah.
But just anytime you see Higgy, you know you're going to smile and you're going to laugh and you're going to have a good time, man. And that's certainly what we did here in the tank. So I really appreciate you coming on.
I enjoy it, man. Life's too short. We got to enjoy it.
Hey, thanks for diving
in,
Higgy.
All right, Juice.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dolphins, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, gotta dive up in that fish tank. Hard. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tales, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. That fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dolphins with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.